Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Keep hope alive. Part 2. Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. And then we'll be in Romans 15, 13. Keep hope alive. Last week I spoke about hope. What is hope? I defined it. If you were not here last week, kindly get the message. I'm not going back there. I have a whole lot to deal with today. So I'm going to move forward. So why hope? And then next week, by the grace of God, I will be talking about how to keep hope alive. Because answering the question how is very, very important. Many churches and many people understand what. And some even take it further to understand why. But not everybody understands how. And you see, if you don't understand how, you have not answered the wisdom question. Because wisdom is what teaches you how. Okay, you say, I should do this. I want to do it. I believe you. But how do I do it? Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15 says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they don't know how to go to the city. I want to become an engineer, but you don't know how to become an engineer. It can be very frustrating. You have an idea what your future should look like, but you don't know how to get there. It can be very frustrating. So next week, I'll be dealing with how to keep hope alive. We're going to go to our text, Job 14, verses 7 to 9, and then Romans 15, 13. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. You will sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. Job essentially said here that there is hope. Even if a tree is cut down, and everything dies in the ground, if he can get a little water, if you can bring water to the dead root. He said there is something called the scent of water. At the scent of water, it will sprout again. Don't kill yourself. You have not got to the end of your life. You might be at the end of a chapter right now, but a new chapter is about to begin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every child of God must learn to embrace the force of hope. The darkest night in the life of a believer is when you switch off the light of hope. The moment you switch off hope, then that's the worst day that a believer will experience. Hope is a very powerful force. It can keep you going. Keep hope alive, the Holy Ghost said to me. He said, tell them to keep hope alive, and then hope will keep you alive. There's no situation that has happened to anybody that has not happened to someone else before. Even the Bible says it, that whatever is now has been before. There is nothing new under the heaven. When you are going through a challenge, it might look like the worst situation in life. Like nobody understands what you are going through. Nobody has ever been through it before. It's not true. If you are a student of history, you will understand that life is cyclical. Most of our experiences are cyclical. Whatever you are going through now, somebody has been through it before. You failed an exam. Don't kill yourself because you failed an exam. Sometimes, before he got it right, to make the incandescent light bulb. When they asked him, sir, you failed 9,999 times. He said, no. He said, I only learned 9,999 ways of how it doesn't work. Attitude. Attitude. Listen, folks. There is hope in your future. Listen, folks. Glory is coming. Can I have an amen? Can you, technical, prepare the handheld for me and let me take this yoke off me? Prepare the handheld. No, give it to them first. Let them make sure it is working before you bring it here. Hallelujah. Now go to Romans 15 and verse 13. 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 Glory to God. Romans 15, 13. Hallelujah. Paul the apostle, praying for the church here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope. It described God as the God of hope. Then it said, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing, in faith. That when you are in faith, you are supposed to be filled with all joy and peace. People say they are believing God, they are in faith, but their lives are chaotic, they are not smiling. They are crying every time like cry, cry, baby. Are you sure you are in faith? Because if you are in faith, you should be filled with all joy and peace. Then he rounded it up by saying, that you may abound in hope. That you may have abundance of hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. It means that the Holy Ghost has something to do with hope. The Holy Ghost is the administrator of hope. When a believer begins to feel hopeless, check your relationship with the Holy Spirit. When God seems far away, check who moved. Did God move or you did? In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. God does not change. The Lord Jesus does not change. So when there is a change, we need to ask ourselves, who did? Who effected the change? May the God of hope fill you with all joy this morning in the name of Jesus. Hope is a powerful force that anchors your soul. We read that in Hebrews chapter 6 last week from verse 13 to 19. We read that in the Message translation and also in the KJV. Hope is the anchor that prevents your soul from drifting on the high seas of life. When, if you know anything about maritime technology at all, anything about ship or traveling by water, when a ship comes to the dock, when they dock a ship by the river, what we will call hangar for airplanes, what we will call a garage for motor vehicles, for the ship, they bring them to the dock, and then they use an anchor to anchor them, to keep them there. It's a piece of metal, very strong and powerful. They will use it to keep the ship there while the ship is on water, is on the water by the riverbank, but then the anchor is deep down. Sometimes it goes down to the seabed to hook the ship, so that if there is a contrary wind in the dead of the night and nobody's on the ship, so that the ship will not be carried away, will not drift away on the high seas and get lost without anybody there. They use the anchor to keep it. No matter how fierce the storm may be, the ship will be safely secure because it is anchored. What anchors your soul to the Lord Jesus is your hope. Your hope. Hope is the anchor, not faith. Hope is the anchor of our soul. Our soul has the tendency to drift many, many times. When people are dealing with depression, it is because it's a sickness of the soul. Something is wrong with the soul. When people are dealing with a sense of foreboding, when there is no sense of hope again, when people become hopeless and they become very forlorn, they become lugubrious and melancholic and morose, they become disenchanted, they become dispirited, they are discouraged, they don't want to live again, they want to commit suicide. When people are out of thought, it is because their soul is already drifting away. The sparkle in their eyes is gone. If you're a student of psychology or you're a student of psychiatry, you have something to do with medicine or mental health, you will understand that when you are dealing with someone that is going through depression, their eyes have lost the sparkle. They gaze into the distance yet see nothing. You are talking to them, their mind is somewhere else. In fact, they are thinking of getting out of your presence to go and commit suicide. Because the sparkle is gone. Why is the sparkle gone? Something is wrong with their soul. What is wrong with their soul? The light of hope is already going out. Many Nigerians have lost hope in the nation Nigeria. If you speak to them, you know.
Hopelessness pervades the air. They will tell you this country can never be great again. This country can never become anything again. But by the special grace of God, Nigeria will rise again. Amen. Pa S.G. Elton, a British missionary who came to Nigeria and landed in Ilesha many, many years ago when Ilesha was not yet on the map of Nigeria. Ilesha was not yet on the map when the Holy Spirit sent Pa Elton from the UK, from England precisely, to come to Nigeria, to a village called Ilesha, to start a missionary work. And he came to Nigeria, came to Africa, got to Nigeria, and in Nigeria got to Ilesha without Ilesha being on the map. That was the man that anointed and ordained Archbishop Benson Idahosa and so many generals of the faith that we have today, including... He was a mentor to our father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adegboye. When he was doing his service year, I think in 1980, in Ilesha, Pa Elton was still alive then. Pa Elton, by the Holy Ghost, spoke one day. He gave a prophecy over Nigeria. The man came to Nigeria from... nobody comes from England and you don't want to return. He never returned to England. He burnt his bridge, came with his wife and his daughter. I don't know whether the daughter is still alive. Pa Elton lived and died here. His wife also. They never returned to England. He spoke by the Holy Ghost. He said, a time is coming when Nigeria will only be known for corruption all over the world. Today, we are fulfilling that prophecy. Anywhere in the world today, they mention that Nigerians. In South Africa, some of my friends traveled to South Africa. The South African guy that came to pick them by the cab, when he heard they were Nigerians, he dropped their trolley and ran away. He said, Nigerians. Ghanaians are afraid of us. The kind of scam in the head of a typical Nigerian, no other person has it in Africa. It's only Nigeria. Someone who is in charge of the treasury of the nation, a whole accountant general of the federation, will steal 80 billion. It's in Nigeria, they will say, that mosquitoes stole money from a particular ministry. Another one, snakes swallowed billions of naira. Our snakes are mysterious. They swallow money. Nigeria is known for corruption. But Pa Elton didn't stop there. He said, but another time is coming. And that's what we are trusting God for. And that's why you and I are here now. Because it will happen in our lifetime. Yeah. He said that time will come when Nigeria will be great again and will be known for righteousness. Where two people will join themselves to a Nigerian, foreign nationals will join themselves to Nigerians and say, please take us to your country because we have heard that God is with you. It will happen. Amen. God will raise from this church people that will do righteousness. Amen. People that will live right. Amen. They will not just talk right, they will do what is right. And God will put you in governmental positions in the mighty name of Jesus. God will make captains of industry to emerge from this house. Champions to emerge from this house. That amen is too weak. People that will be dictating the policies that will be happening in our country, that will be guiding how people conduct their affairs, God will raise them from here in the name of Jesus. If that is you, say better amen. We need to keep up alive. If you want to travel, but I want to tell you that this country will be great again. So when you travel, have it at the back of your mind to return. When I was in Mokola growing up, we said, if they give me 24-hour visa, that's all I need, 24 hours. I won't come back here. But not anymore. God has taken me through different schools of thought. I have seen, I've been here, I've been there. I have seen a few things. Dr. Ibukun Awosika, one of the sessions she took on Saturday morning, Q&A, and somebody was asking about investment. She said, it's better to even invest in Nigeria than to go and invest in Europe. Those are investment experts. Investment experts are coming to Nigeria. She spoke about going to a particular hotel in Abuja, showing a particular French man how the reasons why he should invest in Nigeria. And as they were walking through the hotel, maybe in Nikon Hilton or something, they saw a couple of French women having breakfast, eating and drinking, enjoying themselves. And the man said, they are French women. Said, they are French women. Where are the husbands? They are somewhere doing business in Nigeria, making our money, taking it to their country. Lebanese will come here, they won't go back. Make billions of dollars, send back to their country. Nigerians are working on dollars and we can't see it. That's what one Lebanese man said. He said Nigerians are working on dollars in their country, but they are blind to see. Our eyes are open in the name of Jesus. Keep up alive. Is it about your family? Something is going wrong between your dad and your mom. Something is wrong between you and your siblings. Keep hope alive. Don't throw in the towel yet. Those who give up will never see a better tomorrow. Those who give up are not permitted. They are not permitted and allowed to take part in the portions of the future. It is those who stay alive. Those who stay alive. There is hope for a tree. Even though it is cut down, at the scent of water, it will sprout again. There is hope for you. I said there is hope for you. I said there is hope for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans of good and not of evil. To prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and hope. NIV. To give you a future and hope. To give you a future and hope. NIV. Future and hope. Future. To give you hope and a future. God is the God of hope. Anywhere you see hopelessness, God is not there. When you see hope, God is there. I said something last week as a foundation, which is very important as I move on today. Bible hope does not precede faith. Bible hope is a result of faith. What we were taught many, many years ago growing up was that you needed to have hope before you can have faith. I'm sure some of you have heard that before. That hope becomes the framework for faith. That is not true. The Bible tells us how faith comes. There's only one way faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. In the real context, it says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the words of Christ. The anointed words of Christ. Anointed words of the Christos. Rhema, Christos. Rhema is the word coming out of the mouth. Logos is the written one. Faith comes by Rhema Christos. Rhema can come as I'm preaching this morning. Holy Ghost can be talking to you, giving you further explanation of what I'm saying. Rhema can come when you're alone, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. He can speak, Jesus can speak to you, give you a word. That's your Rhema. When that Rhema comes, faith comes with it. It is that becomes the foundation for your hope. Are you listening to me? I hope everybody, I'm sweating. I hope somebody's listening to me this morning. If you get this, it will help your life. Faith is the foundation. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. If you look at that definition on the surface, you would think that, Shebi says faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means you hope for those things first, and then faith will now add substance to it. No, that's not what it's saying. The word substance there is the Greek word hypostasis. Hypostasis. What it simply means is foundation. That which stands under. That which stands under the foundation. This building is standing upon a foundation. Under this building is a foundation. That is what faith is. Faith is the hypostasis, the foundation of things that you are hoping for. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? If there is no foundation of faith, there is nothing to hope for. So, hope, Bible hope, is a result of faith. It does not precede faith. You cannot have hope outside of faith. What you can have is wishful thinking. What you can have is motivational tips. Like motivators, how they motivate you, motivational speakers. Don't worry. If you change your attitude determines your attitude, all of those things, they have no foundation. That's why they can't help anybody in the day of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? A demon shows up in your house and you say, your attitude determines your attitude. The way you dress is the way you'll be addressed. They have no foundation in the scriptures. The demon will slap you 10 times because they have no root, no foundation. But when you get a word from God, it becomes the foundation on which you can build your hope. And that hope is a lively hope. That hope anchors your soul. So wherever you go, whatever happens, you say, my God has said that he will supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So every day I live hoping and trusting, and I know that God will come through for me. I know that this too shall pass. I just know it because I've been through situations before that passed. He who delivered us from so great a death and not deliver, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1:10. So I know he has delivered me before. He will deliver me again. That is hope speaking. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know this is not my end. I know that my tomorrow will be better than today. I just know it. How did you know? You have hope based on your faith in God. Are you with me? And don't forget that Jesus is the author and the developer of our faith. So our foundation is Jesus. Can I have an amen to that? And so from him comes our hope, and he himself is our living hope. Hallelujah. That's why a child of God has no business being hopeless. A child of God? Are you sure you're a child of God at all? Why hope? I've said so many things on hope. I didn't finish my second point last week. Let me see if I can finish it. And then I'll go to why hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is confident expectation. Somebody say confident expectation. Say it louder. Hope is not casual or passive. It's an active force. It doesn't take long to recognize a person that is full of hope. A person that is full of confident expectation. In the midst of despair, hope screams, I know my Redeemer lives. Job 19, 25 to 27. Job 19, verses 5 to 27. Job was dying and he said, I know my Redeemer lives. Even though worms may eat my flesh, he said, yet in my body I will see God. Kai, what kind of hope is this? I know that my Redeemer lives. After my skin, worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. His body was decaying. He said, yet in my flesh. Which flesh? Hope speaking. I know I shall see God. And I tell you, he saw God. And yet in his flesh. So your hope confession is very important. Next verse, verse 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, not another. Another person will not help me to see God. I will see God myself. You will see God yourself. You will encounter God personally. He said, though my reins be consumed within me, I will see him for myself. In Job 42 and verse 2, Job said, I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. I know you can do all things. By hope you are speaking. I know, God, you can do how many things? All things. All things. In the NLT, it says, I know you can do anything and no one can stop you. In your dark season, listen, church, in your dark season, when you are going through trials, temptations, tough times, do something. Speak to yourself. Speak to yourself in the dark. Speak to yourself in the dark. If you have to stand before a mirror and all alone in your room, speak to yourself in the dark. It's a dark time already. I know. I'm in trouble already. I know. But inside my trouble, speak to yourself. Tell yourself you are going to make it. You are not going under. You will come out of this and God will get the glory out of this. In fact, glory is coming after this. Glory is coming after this. 1 Peter 5:10. After the God of glory who has called us out of... Can you put that scripture up for me? 1 Peter 5:10. In his... No. KJV. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. So PFE, you are suffering a while now. But the God of grace, all grace, will make you... You are pointing at yourself. You are looking at yourself in the mirror. God will make you perfect. God will establish you. God will strengthen you. God will settle you. Speak to yourself in the dark. Are you with me? Nobody can speak over your life the way you can speak over your own life. Use your mouth for your deliverance. Many of us use our mouth for the opposite. See my life? I'm done for. I don't know why I'm so unfortunate. I would never use those kind of words for myself. May you never be unfortunate. I came to your house, but unfortunately, I did not meet you. Never. You won't catch me say that. If you went to somebody's house and you did not call them before going and you didn't meet them, what is unfortunate about that? They say, no, Pastor, it's English now because I didn't meet them. Because you didn't meet somebody at home, you now became unfortunate. No, I will never be unfortunate in Jesus' name. So why are you using it for yourself? Zacchaeus, my PA, he already understands my language. Instead of saying unfortunately, I use the word interestingly. You know, we went there to purchase that thing, but interestingly, we didn't have enough money to buy it. Interestingly. Isn't it interesting? We wanted to buy it, but we couldn't buy it. Interesting. Interestingly, not unfortunately. I have a gift. When you come to my house and I'm not at home, you will not meet me. Do you need revelation for that? So why do you have to say unfortunately? I'm going to get there this morning. In Psalm 13 and verse 3, the psalmist cried to God. He said, open my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm rushing through this very quickly so as to get to my point this morning. In your dark season, speak to yourself in the dark. No one can stop my God. Say that to yourself in the dark. This situation may be bigger than me, but it is definitely not bigger than my God. That's one thing I said to myself in 2023. When it looks like my life was ebbing away, every day the hopelessness was rife in the air. I said to myself, this situation may be bigger than me, but it is not bigger than my God. This may be bigger than me. I don't even understand how I got myself into this, but this is not bigger than my God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your God is so wide that he can wrap his arms around any situation. Oh my God. I say he can wrap his arms around any situation. He can wrap his arms around you. As a matter of fact, his arms are wrapped. They are wrapped around you this morning. How did I know that? Psalm 125. Psalm 125 verse 1. It said, as mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. They that trust in the Lord shall be as mountain, as Mount Zion. We cannot be moved, but abide forever. Verse 2, as mountains, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Mountains are round about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in the middle of mountains. Mountains are round about Jerusalem. He says, so is the Lord, Yadav Aveh, round about his people. Are you his person? Are we his people? So we are surrounded. Surrounded by God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't be afraid. Witches and wizards, the cultists, whatever. Who are they? I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Are you with me, church? You are surrounded by the God of hope. So hopes must surround you. Hope must surround your words. Hope must surround your thinking, your mentality. Say to yourself, this situation will turn to me for a testimony. According to Luke 21:13, say it, everybody. Say, this situation will turn to me for a testimony. According to Luke 21:13, the head of the church was the one that made that statement, the Lord Jesus. He said, and this shall turn to you for a testimony. I pray for someone this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but it's going to turn. And it's going to turn to you for a testimony. Yeah. Somebody's drone got lost. Our brother, you shared the testimony. When he told me, I said, how come you can't find the drone? Program it now. Call it forth now. He said, Pastor, the battery has died. So there's no way it could connect. It looked like a mountain. He just shared his testimony now. It's all paid for. If they told him when he was learning cinematography that you buy a drone, you even pay for someone's drone, he said, how can I afford it? Today, if I tell you, you buy a camera worth 12 million for your work, say, 12 million is a long way. I'm telling you, it's nothing for my God. It can give you one contract. From that one contract, you will buy all the equipment you need. One person, only one person has faith in this house. That's what, I know you do. I know people don't have faith. So that's why I always talk like this, so as to help you. To help you come up. Come up out of little thinking. Our God is big. He's massive. Has the drone not been paid for now? And the boy did not die. He didn't even drink Gary. How God takes us through situations sometimes, we don't understand. God could have prevented that from happening. But it happened. Yet, God delivered you out of it. There are two ways that God delivers. God can deliver you from an enemy, or number two, he will deliver the enemy into your hand. 1 Samuel 17, David said it. He said, the God who delivered me from the paw of the bear, from the paw of the lion, will also deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. He got to another place in the same chapter. He said, God will deliver, when he was talking to Goliath, he said, God will deliver you into our hands today. So he can deliver me from a situation. He can deliver a situation into my hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means you have got an experience already. If a younger cinematographer runs into that problem and wants to go and commit suicide, you say, oh boy, are you normal? What's your problem? You want to go and drink hypo because you lost the drone. I've lost the drone. Maybe you even lost a lens. Cheap lens. Cheaper than the drone. And he wants to go and commit suicide. Say, look, what did you lose? A lens. Me, I've lost a drone before. Boss, how did you do it? God did it. I bought another one. I didn't have mine yet. I bought it for the person. But today I have mine. You can see how many drones I have now. Ah, boss, if God did it for you, he can do it for me. That is experience linking to hope. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm going to show you that this morning. It's in Romans 5. Experience is important. So hope is not wishful thinking at all. It's confident expectation. You are full of faith in the word of God. You are full of hope. When you are full of faith, that's why you must do yourself a favor. Get into the word of God every day. Feed yourself fat every day. When you are full of faith in the word, you are full of hope. Because now abideth faith. Don't say, now abideth hope. That's not what the Bible says. When you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, study it properly. 1 Corinthians 13:13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Pastor Fred is handsome. Remove his picture. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth number one, faith. Why faith? Number one, because it's the foundation. Are you with me? On which hope is built. And faith works by love. That's why they are arranged that way by the Holy Spirit. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But love or charity is the greatest. Because God is love. God is not faith. God is not hope. Faith is the foundation. Hope is built on it. And then it works by love. Are you with me? Galatians 5:6 tells us, faith worketh by love. If you don't have love, your faith is not going to work. You know why you prayed for that person and they didn't get healed? You didn't love them. You wanted to show yourself as a superstar. I prayed for somebody. The guy just got up, man. He just got up, man. But the moment you begin to love people, when you begin to love people, when you begin to love them like God loves them, when you begin to hate the fact that people are sick, how can you have asthma? This is not normal now. The boy, you see, he couldn't even preach well. But he, in his own little way, he was telling the Muslim girl, this is not normal now. Asthma, you know, when you are fasting, you can be praying in the name of Jesus and see what the Lord has done. I'm expecting more testimonies that God will use through the hands of all of you. Through your hands, miracles will begin to happen. Amen. Shout a better amen. Amen. This is not meant for pastors alone. It's for all of us. All of us. You will reach people that I can never reach. You know people I don't know. And through your hands, God will do miracles. Amen. Faith is the foundation on which hope is built. Faith works by love. So without love, faith cannot work. And if faith doesn't work, it means your hope has no foundation to stand on. It is null and void. Love is the greatest. God is love. 1 John 4:8, 1 John 4:16. Hallelujah. Why hope? Why hope? I have only one point to share with you today. Why hope? Because hope is under constant attack from the enemy. The enemy attacks your hope constantly. Why does he do that? He wants you to give it up. Hope is the treasure that you hold very dear. And the enemy wants to take it from you by force. So every day we are attacking your hope. Attacking your hope. It is the last stage in his mission to steal, kill, and destroy. Hope is the last thing that a man loses before he dies. Even in the hospital. Medical science. If somebody is going through a protracted illness, doctors have given him chemotherapy, radiotherapy, every kind of therapy. And they've done everything. The day that person gives up hope, that day is going to die. They say, well, let me just go. The moment a human being gets to that point. But if a human being, if you're in the hospital this morning watching or listening, listen to me. On that hospital bed, if you refuse to give up hope, no Satan can take it from you. It is the last stage in the mission of Satan to steal, kill, and destroy. John 8:44 is a murderer from the beginning. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Lord Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Can I have an amen to that? That's why hope is in, seems to be in short supply in our days. Talk to students on the campus. Many are hopeless. They are hopeless about their future. Many are hopeless about the courses they are taking. Many are hopeless about the future of their course. The future of their profession. So now I'm in archaeology. What will I do with archaeology in Nigeria? People have told you that. You have also imbibed it. You also believe it. Who is it that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not spoken? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Even if there is no future for it in Nigeria, God can link you up to the country where there's a future for it. And you get there to practice your profession. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. It's not the profession you belong to that blesses you. It is the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. That make it rich. Not the profession you belong to. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich and he has no sorrow. I hope you know there are broke doctors. I hope you know. All their life, they are never able to afford a brand new car. One. Never. I hope you know there are broke lawyers. Very broke. And I hope you know there are rich doctors and rich lawyers who did not cut corners. What makes the difference? The blessing of the Lord. The blessing that comes through Christ. It maketh rich. And he had no sorrows. Romans 5, let's read verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have a hope of the glory of God. The glory of God will be seen in your life. So keep that hope alive. Don't expect shame in your future. There is a hope of the glory of God. There is a hope of the glory of God. There is a confident expectation of the glory of God. Hope means confident expectation. So replace it now. There's a confident expectation of the glory of God, and you must rejoice. Rejoice that you have a confident expectation that glory is coming. There will be glory after this. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What Paul experienced was like a tribulation. How can I borrow? It was like one of the sons of the prophet. They borrowed an axe, and the axe said, got lost inside water. I said, alas, my master, it was borrowed. You borrowed a drone to walk. How much is your profit? Now, drone is lost in the forest. And you have to be careful the way you go to the forest because there are snakes there. Very venomous. What do I do now? This is a tribulation. But the Bible says, tribulation worketh patience. When you go through something you don't like, especially what looks like a problematic situation, you learn lessons. If you are willing to learn. Some people, no matter what they go through in life, they don't learn. Instead of them to use that opportunity to learn, they waste their tribulations. When they go through problems, they waste it by not learning. What can I learn from this? How did I get into this? Now that I'm in this, what is the attitude of people towards me? What is God saying? What do I need to do differently? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to start doing? That's someone that is learning. But some people, they have no common sense. When they go through tribulations, they don't even learn. A wise man will increase in learning. Temptation works experience. It works patience, the Bible says. It will humble you. You will become patient. You become patient with people. You become more empathetic. Like when I was swindled, if they told me the story that it happened to someone else, I said, that person must be stupid. How can you give somebody that much money that does not even live in Nigeria? You didn't even think twice that what if the deal doesn't go through? How do you recover your money? If it was not me, if it happened to someone else, I would have called the person very stupid. But it happened to me. One of my daughters here was watching me online from Lagos one day. in that furnace of affliction. She said, what happened to Pastor Fred? I looked so lean. I had lost a bunch of weight. I had emaciated. How will you not emaciate? 145 million. I thought it was 134.8 before. Until recently, that was where my lawyer and I had to sit down again to calculate. I had to get my bank statement for 1 year, and we had to calculate line by line, precept upon precept. 145 million. Tell me how you lose that kind of money and you'll be able to sleep very well. Osun layo, moji layo. Mo fogo foluwa, to ba jini yen o. Iyen to ba ti ele sun. I became what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, like a sparrow on a rooftop. All alone, I'll sit down like this till daybreak. TDB. I knew the time that the dogs on our estate barked. I knew the times that families in my house woke up to do morning devotion. I knew the time that the hunter, the, what do you call them? Oh, Lord, this vigilante, I knew the time they paraded. The time they shot the gun, I knew. If I had the dog, whoa, I knew the time. It's 3 a.m. now. If I had under sound, that bird cries at 3:45. And this lasted 9 months. I had 4 episodes of complete insomnia. Complete insomnia, meaning I didn't sleep 1 minute. 1 minute. I was on the bed like this. Eyes were open. I closed it. It closed, but sleep did not come. One night, one of my daughters in London, she said, Daddy, there is this supplement. Go and get it. Please get it tonight. Use half. Only half. Oh, Daddy, don't use full. Oh. That my mommy normally uses it. If she uses half like this, it will knock her off. I said, eh? So I ran to his pharmacy on my estate. Do you have so, so, and so? They said, yes. I said, please, it will meet it too. It will meet it too. Give it to me. How much? I went home. I tried to take a cold cup of hot chocolate. Cold one. Sometimes they said, use spiritine. I use spiritine. This one, I broke it into 2 halves. I took one. I swallowed it. I said, yes, tonight I will sleep. I was looking for sleep. Sleep. Just to be able to sleep. On the dining, 30 minutes, I didn't yawn. I said, no, let me go and lie down. Let me help the sleep to come. So I went to my bed. 45 minutes, nothing. 1 hour, nothing. 2 hours, nothing. I got up. The other half, I took it. I said, let it knock me off till tomorrow. I took the other half. It was as if Satan was waiting for me that night. That night was especially terrible. In the dead of the night, I became very restless. Get up from the bed, go to the bathroom, shower, go to the living room, go to the kitchen, be walking around. I just became restless. Sleep did not come. Your help cometh from the Lord, not from multivitamins. David lifted up his eyes. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Until God intervened, none of those things worked. None. A doctor even gave me a controlled drug and said, this one, Pastor, I'm only giving you because we are friends. Oh, they don't sell it over the counter. It's a prescription drug. Oh, they normally, without a doctor's prescription, they don't sell it. I said, give me. He gave me. I took it that night. I did not blink. What a punishment. But you know one of the things I learned through that experience? I learned to be more patient with people. So I've had cases of other people that have been swindled. People now give my number to them to call me. I have now become their counselor. I will now tell them, this is how we do it. Come on, this is how to do it. Have you prayed? Have you asked for mercy? Ask for mercy first. That's where to start from. That's what I did. I'm telling you, I am now more patient with people. Oh, my shoe. But you see, next time. Tribulation worketh patience. You will be patient by force. When you go through tribulation, processes you. Job thought he knew how to do everything right. Every day he was sacrificing. When tribulation came, Baba became gentle. He said, I was not quiet. Neither was I this, but I was not in safety. Oh God. But I know my Redeemer lives. When somebody begins to sing in prayer, begins to kilo le she alarmi ile, he got the shell in here. Tribulation, work at patience. And patience, experience. A man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. If I've been through something before, I can tell you about it. You cannot argue my experience. You have no validation. You have no legal rights, no local standing to argue my experience. Experience, hope. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope maketh not ashamed. Why hope? Because hope will keep you from shame. It is not faith that maketh not ashamed. Faith is the foundation. Hope is what will not make you to be ashamed. And I pray for you, you will not be ashamed. So keep hope alive. Shame is not a very good thing. Shame is not a very nice thing. You will not be ashamed. In nothing will you be ashamed. Paul said that in Philippians 1:20. He said, in my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I pray for you, sir, in nothing will you be ashamed. In the mighty name of Jesus. As long as a believer in Christ Jesus holds on to the force of hope, he will not be ashamed. Don't forget, the Bible hope is anchored on faith in Jesus. Jesus being the author and developer, or author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. You wonder why the enemy steals the word from people's heart. Mark 4:15, the Bible says that after the sower has sown the seed, the enemy cometh immediately. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. I've been wondering many years, God, does he come to church? Like I'm preaching right now? And then he'll come and steal the word from people's heart. The Lord began to open my eyes that, you see, what happens many, many times is that we are careless Christian people, especially after the service. Through our confession, we violate our own faith. The same faith we were confessing. As you step out there, someone says, how you doing? You say, oh, things are really hard, though. I will not lie to you. Things are not fine at all. But you just confess in church, in nothing will I be ashamed. I will never, ever. 5 minutes after service. Sarah. Whatever will be. Anything we want be now, make it be. Anything we want, so make it stop. You are shortchanging your own self by negative confession. That's how Satan steals the word from their heart. It will help you. It will help you to forget what you have said, what you have heard, so that it will now give you a replacement, which you now be saying. Why does he do that? Because he knows that the word of God is fully loaded with the force of hope, which is an offshoot of faith. The word of God carries the faith of God. And as a result, is loaded with hope. Have you wondered sometimes? Have you ever been in the counseling session? You were just down and you spoke to a friend. Not a regular counseling session. Just a random friend who is a believer. And he just talks to you like 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, you feel like you're okay. And you feel, that load has been taken off. Anybody? Let me see real people. People that have believers as friends. Very good. Have you also spoken to somebody before? Maybe just a verse of the Bible. You just shared it with someone and the person says, and I felt better. It's as if they've lifted some load off me. Anyone? Have you spoken to someone before? You know, that is a testament to the fact that the word of God carries the faith of God and is loaded with hope. There is no way you will speak the real word of God to someone and something will not happen. Something will not change in their lives. That's why Satan always attempts to steal it from people. He doesn't want them to have hope. He wants them to be hopeless. Faith is the foundation, the hypostasis of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So things hoped for are standing on the foundation of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is why it's essential to develop your faith. You will never see a man or woman of faith being hopeless. It can never happen. A man of faith will never be hopeless. A woman of faith will never be hopeless. So let me tell you what happens. Let me share two indicators that show that your faith is under attack. Just like your hope is under attack, your faith also is constantly under attack. Two indicators. Number one, whenever you see yourself being low on hope, joy, or peace, it's actually your faith that is under attack. When you find yourself being low on hope, joy, or peace, it's actually your faith that is under attack. Give me Psalm 42, verses 5 to 11. Psalm 42. You know, sometimes you just wake up and you say that you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You're just blue. You're blue for no reason. Don't know why you're so blue. Do you know that song from back in the day? Sun's gonna shine on everything you do. Ah! You people don't know musical. It's only Kokuko that you know now. Back in the day, I mean, we listened to good music. I mean, it wasn't gospel, secular, but it was really good. It's just like a song of encouragement. I don't know why you're so blue. The sun is going to shine on everything you do. You will know that guy used to attend the fellowship. Adam Obroto backslide. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul? The psalmist was asking his soul, soul, wake up now. Like Ayo. Where's Ayo? Ayo Mide, what's the escape? He's in church. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Because there's a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. You need to speak to your soul. Sometimes the soul bows like this. Your joy is low. Your peace is on a low level. Your hope is on the low, an all-time low. You can't even explain it. They say, oh boy, what is wrong with you? You say, Mister, I don't know now. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You are just blue and you don't know why. You can explain it. It's because your faith is under attack. And some people stay there permanently. They say, it's my mood swing. It's my monthly moon swing. Peleo, yao ni mudu. You better get out of that form. Get out of that nonsense. Speak to your soul. David the psalmist spoke to his soul in Psalm 103 when he said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless whatever, everything that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefit, because the soul can forget. He said, don't forget. Don't forget. Go back to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 verse 5. He said, why are you cast down, oh my soul? What's wrong with you? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Your friends have left you. Hope thou in God. Your parents said they don't have the ability to sponsor you. Hope thou in God. Everybody's talking ill about you. Hope thou in God. Your former friends have now become frenemies. Hope thou in God. The economy of Nigeria is not smiling. Hope thou in God. If God is all you have everything you need. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet, look at the man full of hope, for I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Help is coming from his countenance, and I shall yet praise him for that. So hope, hope, and don't die. Don't die now, oh, don't die. Joy is coming in the morning. Psalm 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You will know when you hear some secular songs. This guy used to be in the choir of a church before he backslid. That seed that their pastor has planted, the seed of the word, he doesn't leave them. And we pray for them, all of them, they're still back to the kingdom. I used to pray for Celine Dion. I don't know why I stopped. I think I need to go back. If that woman can still sing, Lord, use her. Her voice travels. There are whispers. In the morning, only God knows how many years I punished myself listening to those songs. I had no lover, but I've been singing lover song. If lovers sleep, your voice is warm and tender. love that I could not forsake. Cause I'm your lady. Ah!
I'll be having goosebumps like this. You better wake up, oh boy, and change your future. Imagine that voice in the kingdom. Imagine, just like what Hillsong is doing, what Elevation Worship is doing. Imagine Sister Celine Dion. And she just sings, "Holy are you, Lord." It should go out, bah. Those talents are coming back to the kingdom. I know Pastor Fred is handsome. Go back to Psalm 42. God bless you. Psalm 42. Can you see handsome Pastor Fred? Very handsome. For real, for real. Psalm 42, verse 6. Let's go to verse 6 now. We're still going to verse 11. Verse 6 now. Oh my God. Now he was reporting his soul to God. He spoke to his soul. The soul was stubborn. Very stubborn soul. So he went to God. Oh my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, will I remember thee? The power of remembering. When you are feeling blue and hopeless right now, go back into history. Go back into time. Travel down memory lane. There was a time God rescued you from an accident. There was a time God helped you that you were not put to shame. There was a time God helped you, you didn't die. There was a time God sent help to you. He said, I remember. Try to remember. If your soul forgets, remind your soul. I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hammonites of the hill Mizar. Next verse. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yes, next verse. Yet. Somebody say yet. Yes. Say it like you mean it. Say yet. Yes. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. I love that. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Next verse. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? He turned his battle to God now. He pitched his enemy against God. Next verse, which is the last. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? See what he said. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. In the mighty name of Jesus, you shall yet praise him. Yeah. Who is the health of my countenance and my God? When you are low on joy, peace, and hope, is an indication that your hope and your faith, actually, your faith is under attack. So what do? You need a faithcation. Someone say faithcation. Say faithcation. Like we have vacation. You need a faithcation. You need to sit down with the word of God and have yourself a word binge. You know what a word binge is? In America, they usually go for food binge. B-I-N-G-E. Once in a while, families will go out and say, we're going for a food binge. What do they do at a food binge? They eat. They relax. They play around. They come back. Eat. You see all the barbecue machines that are out there? All kinds of flesh, barbecue. They have all kinds of food. That outing is just to eat. That's why, you know, their size is normally plus. They call it food binge. You also need a word binge. When you sit down with the word of God, 2 hours, you are eating. You take a break. You go to pray in the Holy Ghost. Your break is to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's how we rest. Then you come back, you open the word again until God speaks. Faithcation. The world out there will never encourage you. It's full of negativity. You need the word of God to generate faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word. Number two, what is the other indicator? Another indicator that your faith is under attack is your confession. Your confession. What do I mean? This is where I'm going to stop. This is my last point for today. When you notice that you are beginning to compromise on your convictions and confessions, take a break and reload so you don't burn out. To bari potin so so kuso. when you are beginning to talk nonsense, when you are beginning to say, well, really, anybody can die at any time. But you used to say, with long life, will God satisfy me? You need to reload. There is a supplement called reload. Take a break and reload. You are beginning to stray from the faith. It's a sign that your faith is under attack. You are supposed to hold fast and not let go of your confession. Every confession we say in this church, you are supposed to hold fast to them daily and not let go. The contrary will happen, but you need to hold fast your confession. The moment you are beginning to say what you never used to say before, you are beginning to say the negative instead of the positive. You are beginning to say what others are saying instead of what God is saying. You are beginning to say what someone else is saying instead of what God has told you. My friend, is a sign, is an indicator that your faith is under attack. How did we get to know? Through the words of your mouth. Hebrews 3:1 says, the Lord Jesus Christ, consider him, who is the apostle, Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, partakers of which calling? Heavenly calling. He said, what should we do? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The word profession there is also the word confession. Consider him, the high priest and apostle of our confession, Christ Jesus. What does this mean? Every high priest, when they go to God, to the holiest place, the holiest of all, what they do is they take gifts along with them and they minister those gifts to God. Our own high priest in the new covenant is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has entered into the heavens. He is with the Father. He takes our confessions and he ministers them back to us. He ministers them back to us because he is the high priest of our confession. As we offer him our confession, he is the high priest, the administrator of our confession. He takes them and ministers them back to us. If we say the negative, the contrary, the unbiblical, unscriptural, he has nothing to minister to us because he will not minister death. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? This is why Hebrews 4:14, go there, now tells us about the ministry of Jesus. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession. He said we should hold fast our profession because, look, Jesus is passed into the heavens. Are you getting what I'm saying? Waiting for our confessions. Say it and let me minister it to you. Every time we say, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Oh yeah, that's his word. He said, yeah, that's right. He ministers grace to you. Lord, in myself, I can't pull through this. This is way too much for me. But I trust in you. Because your word says in Psalm 29 that you minister strength to your people. Psalm 29 verse 10 says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth as king forever. Verse 11 says, the Lord ministers strength to his people. So Lord, I trust you to minister strength and peace to me. You know what he's going to do? He's going to minister strength and peace to you. He's waiting for your confession. When you say, Lord, the doctors have given me their report. According to your own report, by your stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, I am healed. According to Isaiah 3 verse 5 and 1 Peter 2:24, it says, oh, that's correct. It takes that your confession, it ministers it back to you. Now, when you say, I don't know why I'm so unlucky. I don't know why things are just so unfortunate in my life. What do you think the Lord Jesus will minister to you? Nothing, because he can't minister death. Your angels are incapacitated. They can't do anything. Because angels only respond to the word of God. The command button of angels is the word of God. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments.
hearkening to the voice of his word. The moment you are speaking the word of God, you are adding your voice to his word. The moment you say it is written, I shall live and not die, angels bring out their sword. They say, Satan, are you deaf? Didn't you hear what he said? Because you are singing what has been said. And that's their manual. Angels are automated. You press the button of the word of God, they go. That's how they respond. Human beings, we are the one that have orikunku, stubborn head. The word of God says something, you say, no, I say my own. Angels can't even say their own words. The first angel that tried it, he fell with all the people that rebelled with him. They are automated. Speak the word, and they go. Speak the word. Sometimes I speak over this church and I say, Lord, let the angel assigned to this ministry go into the field now. Bring us the financial harvest. We need money. Lord, we have projects to do. Go in the name of Jesus. And they go. Angels are assigned to us as a ministry. And then we have angels as individuals, as God's children. Hebrews 1:14. I'm not telling you what is not scriptural. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? I command my own angels. I don't know about you. You may leave them uncommanded, and they are following you everywhere. They are not supposed to be your PA. They won't carry your bag. They are your spiritual orderly. They are ministers for you. And you can ask them to do things by faith in the name of Jesus, releasing the word of God. They only respond, however, to the word of God. You say nonsense, they wonder why you are so stupid. Well, anybody can die at any time. The way I'm even feeling now, I can't guarantee. Angels, your angels will be talking to each other. But we don't know why she has chosen to die right now. But according to the books, she's meant to live very long. But she chooses to want to go to heaven right now. So they fold their hands. Calamity happens. They can't do anything about it. Because you have locked their hands with your confession. That's how powerful your words are. King, that accident you had, an angel stood with you. People may laugh and say, oh, a bike man hit you. He fell. The bike fell. The passenger fell. You, who were supposed to be the victim, now had to help them to get up. That was not normal. How much is your weight? When you see extraordinary things happening, like, don't take them for granted. I've been rescued. January 2016, Oluoli Estate would have been RIP, PFE. Under a trailer. I fell. The bike man was on the bike. The bike was on me. Thankfully, my head was out. My body was out. But my leg, my left leg was under the trailer. A moving trailer. Fully loaded in Oluoli. Because it was fully loaded, it couldn't really run very fast. But as I saw the wheel coming towards my leg, because I struggled to pull out my leg, I couldn't. I just closed my eye to get ready for the worst pain of my life. I was just waiting to hear the cracking of my bones. My leg came out. How? I don't know. An angel was there. These things are real. I travel a lot. I drive. I know many, many times that God has rescued me. I know. I say, Lord, thank you, because I know that was not normal. We live the supernatural life. The supernatural should be your normal life. Did you hear what I said? There are times you are broke, really, and you don't talk to anybody about money. You talk to God. I'm sure some of you have had that testimony before. Somebody was thinking of, without collecting your account details, collected it from someone else and credited you. And you saw money, an exact amount that you needed. Anybody knows what I'm talking about here? And you say there is no God? Are you tripping? So we're all right, yeah? We are supposed to live a supernatural life. Your confession, Jesus. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Now, put that scripture on the screen for me. I'm closing now. That's my last point. I promise you. Hebrews 4:14. Real quick. Hebrews 4:14. Let's read it together, everybody. One, two, go. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, yeah, that is passed where? Into the heavens. You remember I said we have heavenly calling before. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, let us do what? Come on now. Are you tired? Should I just close right now? Please get this. You need it. Let us do what? hold fast our profession. Hold fast means don't let go. Don't let go of it. Hold it fast. Don't let anything change your confession. Hold it fast. Look, Satan will pressure you. Life will pressure you to make you say nonsense about yourself. Don't say it. Don't ever say, I'm Moshua Shuri Buruk Odi Shuri Buruk Uluruko Jesu. Stand before the mirror and tell yourself, Wa Shuri Uluri Nye Shuba. And Lord, do you say, Muti Shuri, I am me today. Oluwa wa pelu mi. The Lord is with me. I'm blessed. I might speak that over your life. You don't have money, speak the word of God. In this one said we should hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:23 says we should hold it fast without wavering. Jesus is the high priest. Hebrews 10:23 media, please. 3:13 says Jesus is the high priest. No, 3:1 is the high priest of our profession. 4:14 says hold fast your profession. Jesus is the high priest. You, your job is to hold it fast. Hold fast your profession. 10:23 says, hold it fast without wavering. What do you think the Holy Spirit is saying? Tenacity, consistency. Every day, hold it fast. Don't change your confession every day. Every day. Life will push you to change your confession. Don't change it. Don't change what you are saying. The word confession is the Greek word homologio. Homologiao, meaning homo, is same. One, logio or logiao, meaning language. It says saying the same language, saying the same thing, saying what has been said. What has God said about you? Wealth and riches are in my house. By his stripes I am healed. Amen. Amen. Are you tired? I'm going to get out of your faces now, but you need to get this. Somebody say, hold it fast. Somebody say, hold it fast without wavering. Because faithful is he that promised. He said, hold it fast. The other one says, hold it fast without wavering. It's like your seat belt. I told you before, a friend of mine was traveling from Lagos to Port Harcourt on a flight. His daughter is in church this morning. I told you, you can ask your dad this story. And the pilot ran into turbulence, so he had to bend the airplane to avoid the turbulence. You know, it happens. Those of you that watch horror movies or war films, those fighter jets, they can flip them completely over. The only thing that holds you in place is your seatbelt. That's why when you're flying international or even local, air hostesses will walk down the aisle checking everybody's seatbelt. Hello, sir. Please fasten your seatbelt. You can't say, no, my tummy is big. Sir, can you please adjust it? They will help you adjust it. Because a turbulence might be ahead. It will be too late at that time. Where's my seatbelt? Oh, God, you'll be rolling on the aisle. That flight was so bad that day, your dad told me. He said, from the convenience, urine that people had urinated and forgot to flush. Actually, because the plane bent like this, urine was pouring out and trickling on people. That was not the time to complain. Oh no, what kind of urine is this? No, people's hearts were in their mouth. So even if they drank urine at that time, all that mattered to them was for them to land safely. Oh God, oh, come and see. If you have ever been in a turbulent plane, may you not be there. People confess their sins. They confess the sins of their forefathers. My grandfather was a stupid man. Lord, forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive my father. Forgive my... I don't know what the sin he committed, but forgive him. I don't know the one I will commit tomorrow, but forgive me now. You are 33,000 miles above sea level. International flight. You can't play. When the plane goes down, you think it's going to crash. It's not crashing. The man is just trying to avoid the turbulence. But the only thing that will keep you safe is your seatbelt in place. So when the plane wants to throw you forward, the seatbelt takes you back securely. When it wants to topple you over, it keeps you there. So even if it does topple over, you are still there, hooked to your seat. That's how important the seatbelt is. The same with your driver's seatbelt. When you're driving a car, you're sitting in front, you should use your seatbelt. Even at the back, you should use your seatbelt. But you know, we're not used to that, so don't preach that, Pastor Fred. Leave that alone. Even front seats, we're still struggling to tell people to wear their seatbelt. A vehicle can hit your vehicle from behind, and the impact can be so bad. People have flown out before. They broke the windscreen with their head, and guess what happened? They died. What could have saved them? Seatbelt. I was going to Lagos many, many years ago. We're going to the airport, myself and one of my mentors. We were going to the airport to catch a flight to Abuja. And these people were talking. They were chatting Sunday afternoon. The man didn't know when he ran into us. I just saw that my head went, almost hit the windshield, but the seatbelt jacked me backward. We don't know what could have happened that day. Seatbelt. That seatbelt that holds you in place is your confession. Let it hold you in place. Hold it fast. Fasten your seatbelt. Hold it fast. Hold it fast without wavering. Do you know that everybody has failed? Do you know you're a failure? No, I'm not a failure. The Bible says I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Even if I had a receipt, I still am not a failure. I will take it again, but this time more intelligently, and God is going to help me. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Never change your confession. Never change your confession. Never change your confession. Never change your confession. Next week, I'll be sharing with you how to keep hope alive. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed today?
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.